All right, here it goes. Sing to me, Lisa. What the? Oh. Oh, you know what? You know what? Bye. I quit. I can't do this anymore. Bye. Bye. This is your over-analytical songwriter, Tark, here. And my, has it been a long time. About 4 months since I've done my last one. I am really bad at keeping up with consistency of doing these rants. Oh, God, it's beyond horrible. I was wanting to do this song rant for some time now. Well, I don't know if you would call this one a rant, as much as it's supposed. See, this is why I do not go into DJing ever. Anyway, yeah, but no, no, this one won't be as much of a rant as it is somewhat of a... Well, it could be a somewhat of a rant, but it's gonna be mostly a ramble anyway. But this song was something I wanted to talk about for a pretty good while now. I think I wanted to do it last week, but it just never panned out. See, once I get behind the mic and I want to record, it just... My need for rambling just stops. I've no idea why. But luckily, I've had a bottle of Mellow Yellow, and hopefully this works out. And I've listened to this song. Okay, so the song in question is How Can I Ease the Pain by Lisa Fisher. Now, I believe I talked about her one or two times in my... In my years of being here on GWA, I've only mentioned her once, I think, and it was in another ramble I did about underrated vocalists, and she is very underrated, criminally underrated, and this is one of the songs. I think this is her only, this is her well mo or her most well known song, or only well known song. In fact, I mean. It just makes me wonder. She could have came out with more albums. I mean, that's how criminally underrated she is. Not to mention, she used to be the backing vocalist for Luther Vandross, and she sang backup for the Rolling Stones, too. And I thought, whoa. Yeah, because I remember seeing a VHS tape of Rolling Stones performing in Amsterdam or somewhere like that. I think either Paris or Amsterdam. But it was a very good performance of Gimme Shelter, and she sang the hell out of that song. She blew my mind. But we're not talking about Gimme Shelter, are we? No. But we are talking about Lisa Fisher, so she had somewhat to do with that in that performance. But no, we're talking about one of her songs. It's How Can I Ease the Pain? And this, it's so sad though, because she fell into the category of one-hit wonders. And she, I don't see why. What, her voice is just milk chocolate. Milk chocolate with enough power in it, you know? Caffeinated milk chocolate. That makes no sense. But hey, it does in my book. But no, now, how how I came to recognize this song was back when I was in, when I was in 7th or 8th grade, and I was around 12 or 13 at the time, and I just discovered what YouTube was, back in 2007. And all of a sudden, I stumbled upon this song, and I thought, well, her voice sounds eerily familiar, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I know I've heard her voice somewhere. I just can't put my finger on it. It's like, what? It was just like racking at my brain just thinking of, now, I've heard of this singer before. Lisa Fisher. Oh, God. This was so eerily familiar. And as I listened to it, I thought, oh, gosh. How is this not popular? How is this not, what? And then just going into the bridge of that song, and I'm instantly like, holy hell, what is this? Oh my God. Holy crap, where did these vocals come from? Oh shit. That is. I felt like I needed to sit down after listening to that. Well, I was sitting down last time I recall listening to the song, when I first heard it. But I was just like, wait, whoa, hey. She's hitting that Mariah Carey note right there. Oh no, this is not a Mariah Carey note. Nowhere near. This is a Lisa Fisher note. That's what I'm gonna call it, a Lisa Fisher note, because I was blown away. And then right after listening to that song, I thought, huh, you know what would be a good time for? It would be a good time to watch that Rolling Stones concert, because that whistle note sounds so familiar. And so I listened to the live version of Gimme Shelter, and there was this woman with these long braids, and she was just looking all sexy and just voluptuous in that short leather dress. And I was just like, oh, who's this? And then when she got to that high note on the It's Just a Shot Away, I'm just like, oh, so that's where I've heard, oh my God, really? What? Yeah, that, I'm going a little bit too high. I've went up a whole 2 octaves on that one. I'm sorry. But no, I mean, it was just like, hey, whoa, huh? What? That's her? Hold on, that's her? And then Mick Jagger afterwards says, Lisa Fisher on vocals. And I was just like, so that's where she was. Oh, and that's where I had my dumb moment. Duh. How could you not find that out sooner? Tark, you big dum-dum. And I was just like, wait. So she got to sing backing vocals for the Rolling Stones. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I... You know that song by Luther Vandross called Here and Now? I believe I hear her backing vocals on that song, too. Could be just my ears, but I think that was her doing the backing vocals on that song, Here and Now. I could be wrong. I really could be wrong, but it just sounded so much like hers. And it's like, wow. Why put her in the background when she should be in the freaking spotlight? That's what I want to know. I mean, she's a great backing vocalist, don't get me wrong, but she is... some of the most powerful vocals I've ever heard. A little powerhouse right there. My gosh. And it baffles me how she is not more well known. This is what baffles me. It really does. But anyway, no. That song has to be one of my favorite slow jams of all time. It's like, it's in another league of its own, I think. It's not like the other slow jams you hear that are by Toni Braxton. It's not like something you hear out of Mariah Carey or Whitney Houston. No. No, Lisa Fisher, I think she's in a league of her own. I really do think, because that woman's voice is magnificent. And last I've heard of her doing lead vocals now, she is still killing it. She is, last time I've seen it, I think she did a song with Sting called Hounds of Winter. If I'm not wrong, I don't know, but yeah. She killed it. Oh, my heart. My heart, every time I think back to those vocals, it makes me want to cry at how strong her voice is. And I may be getting emotional about it right now because but it's in a good way, though. It's in a good way. It moves you to tears in a very, very good way. And also, not to mention the chill bumps that I have just thinking about it. It just, ooh, it's amazing. It's really amazing. But okay, anyway, I think I've rambled on. I think I've rambled on about that. Well, now, how about, how about we go to the music? It's very incredibly seductive, and it's I don't think there's not much to talk about, except it's the epitome of a slow jam. You know, slow beat, some really ethereal keyboards and the backing vocals, magnifico. And, yeah. Not much to talk about with the... No, if you're going to talk about how can I ease the pain, you don't really focus much on what's going on in the back. You just focus on the lead vocals, because that's where it's at. Really, it really is. So, if we're not going to talk about the music, because there's not much to talk about with the music-wise... Well, we're just going to talk about the lyrics and see if we could try to stay on that topic without going into, oh my god, her voice is so, yeah, okay, let's try that. Okay, so we're going to talk about the lyrics, and it starts off with Lisa whispering, it sounds like something in Japanese. I can't repeat what it says, though, because I can't repeat it phonetically. I could try, but I would have to pull up, I know it's Japanese for, I love you, I'm so sorry, or something like that. I can't think of what the Japanese words were, but I knew it was Japanese she was whispering, because I think she was more well-known in Japan than she was here, I think. Yes. So, she whispered before even going into the first verse. It says, I love you. I'm so sorry. Well, I know the translation, but I don't know the Japanese words. What? I might need to listen to it. I got, it might take me a minute, because this is a slow-ass laptop. So slow ass. Ah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I did not mean to do that. Okay, let's see what she says at the beginning of the song. Oh, turn that down. Komanasai. I think. Aishitemasu. Wait. Wait. Kominasai aishtemas. What is... Yeah, because I think it stands for I love you, I'm so sorry. I think. I don't know. I've seen it on a YouTube comment where the guy asked, what did she say at the beginning? And some guy said, well, she's saying something in Japanese that means, I love you, I'm so sorry. And it was like, huh, that makes sense, but what is it being sorry about? But we're gonna read the lyrics and see something. Okay. First verse. All alone, on my knees I pray, for the strength to stay away. So basically she's saying she's praying. Well, it's basically, there's not much to explain about the lyrics because it's very straightforward. Because she's praying to stay away from that person that broke her heart. Really. So you know what's ahead. In and out, out and in you go, seeing that this is an off and on relationship. I feel your fire, then I lose my self-control. So, this is pretty much touching on an on and off relationship, which is pretty much it. But this guy is absolutely toxic for her, but however, she feels so much desire for him that she just can't help it. She loses all self-control. And here comes the chorus. How can I ease the pain when I know you're coming back again? So see, the guy comes back to her. But she knows full well that he's not good enough for her. He's not good at all for her. How can I ease the pain in my heart? Well, how can I ease the pain in my heart knowing that you're gonna break it again in the long run? That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what she's saying. How could I ease the pain when you're just gonna come back and do the same thing over and over again? I mean, she knows how badly this guy hurt her, but yet he comes back and she's just questioning herself. She's questioning herself whether or not she should take him back. Yeah, so second verse. See, this is really hard for me to read the lyrics and just fight the urge to sing this, knowing full well that I'm an alto and can't hit half the high notes in this song that she can. Anyway, stay on the topic of the lyrics, Melissa. Come on. All right, here we go. I even got frustrated enough to say my real name. Whee! Okay, I'm not gonna edit that out, so fuck it. Anyway, second verse. Every time... Oh, I almost sang that one. Shit. Alright, every time that I let you in, you take away something deep within. Her heart? That could be it. A fool for love is a fool for pain. That sounds kind of dark, don't you think? A fool for love is a fool for pain. Well, it's kind of true, because if you're in love with the idea of being in love, then get ready for some pain. We've all been there. We have all been there. Don't say you haven't, because, ooh-wee. It's bad. But I refuse to love you again. There you go, girl. Tell him no. Tell him no! We're going back to the chorus. How can I ease the pain when I know you're coming back again? Don't let him in! Duh! Okay. And here comes the bridge. The best part. The best part of the song is the bridge. If it's not love you come here for... Tell me, baby, why you're here, knock, knock, knocking at my door. Really, she's just saying, why are you here when clearly it's not love you're looking for. You're just looking for a good time. I can't take it. No more, no more, no more, no more, baby. I've read it with so little emotion there. No more, no more, no more, just Monica. Anyway, no, no. Too much watching Doki Doki Literature Club, sorry. We went from Leisha Fisher to Doki Doki Literature Club. What? Okay, focus, Tark, focus. Okay. Give me all or nothing at all. So, really, it's just like, if you're just, give me all of your love. Not half of it, not quarters of it, not one-thirds of it. Give it all. Or just nothing at all, because, really, I'm not here for a good time. If you can prove to me that you love me and you can stay because you love me, yes. But if you don't, GTFO! GTFO! Yeah. So, yeah. And the repeat of the chorus, and la di da di da di da di da di da di da 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 da. Yeah, pretty much. And now for the, now, yeah. So basically, I'm gonna keep on saying it. Basically, it's just a song that's just like, it's saying that, it's basically a summary of, okay, why are you coming back when clearly you're just here to hurt me? Why are you here? Because you broke my heart enough, and somehow I'm drawn to you when I know I'm definitely not. And why are you here? GTFO! GTFO! Get the fuck out. Yeah. It's basically what the song is about. How can I ease the pain in my heart when you're just gonna hurt me again? When I know that if I fall in love with you again, you're just gonna do the same shit all over again. Basically, I'm a basic bitch. I keep saying the word basically. I need to stop that. Stop it, Tark. Stop it. And I'm just pointing at myself, like, just looking like a derp. Just pointing at myself between the nose with my eyes crossed. Why do they let me record this? Anyway, yeah. Okay, so on to the favorite subject of this song is the vocals. I love talking about vocals. They, like I've said hundreds of times, I am a fool for good vocals. I am such a, I'm a slut for good vocals. I'm a slut for talent. And Leisha Fisher's got talent. I tell you what. Oh, I kind of growled there. Sound like a gremlin. But yeah, but Leisha Fisher, her voice is just like, so good. And it's just like, whenever you hear her sing, there's not one bit of straining in there. I don't sense any straining in there at all. Because her voice, it's got a lot and lots and lots of control in that. And listening to the song, there's nowhere in the song where she sounds too breathy. Or, you know, she knows when to come forward. And she knows when to pull back with her voice. Like, she knows when to come in and she knows when to pull back. See, this is what I like. She knows, like I said, her voice has so much control. And it sounds like her voice had some really, really good training, I think. How could you tell that, Tark? Because you have no training in your voice at all. Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! just knows, okay? It just knows when to come in and when to pull back. It's like, and when to sing loud and when to sing softly. But she doesn't sing too softly to the point where she's breathy. Kind of like Mariah Carey. Now, I know all you Mariah Carey fans are gonna jump at my throat a little at the moment. But listen, just listen. I love Mariah Carey. I really do. But when you have, like, power, when depth and strength and power and your voice is on the line, and you're having trouble deciding on who has the most power, let's see, Lisa Fisher or Mariah Carey? Lisa Fisher, okay? Her voice is just, it has a depth to it. It has, like, a sort of warmth to her voice. Like, it's just, it reminds me of melted hot chocolate. Melted milk chocolate. Oh, that's what I said. No, melted chocolate. No, that's not what I said. That is not what I said. Milk chocolate with caffeine in it, I thought. Because her voice has so much pow to it, you know? Or, and as, you know, Mariah Carey, yeah, she can belt. She can really belt, but I don't think that you can sense enough strength in there to be blown away, like, whoa! No. Whereas, Lisa Fisher, you hear her belt, and she's just like, oh my god! Ah! Holy crap! That is, oh, whoa. Good stuff. Good, that's some good shit. Mm-hmm! That's some good shit! Yeah. And, her voice, oh my god, it's, like I said, it's melted milk chocolate to my ears. And it's just, such a pretty voice. If I could sort of distinguish her voice a little bit, I don't know if she's a soprano. I think she's a mezzo, I think. A mezzo soprano? I'm not sure. She could be a soprano, because, well, hey, you know, there are some altos that can hit pretty high notes. Like, really, really high. Like, Rachelle Farrell. You ought to hear her sing low. I think she's an alto. And she hits some pretty dog whistle high notes. Some pretty high dog whistle notes. But no, I'm not saying Lisa Fisher is an alto. I think she's far from it. I think she's either a mezzo or full-out soprano. I don't know. See, I'm not really good at distinguishing vocal types, really. But, you know, she sings high, okay? She sings high! Oh, God. I should be knowing more of this since I sing and play piano, but I don't. Oh, I know all you musicians are going to be triggered! Trigger warning! Anyway, yeah, this is just me going bonkers. Don't mind me. Anyway, don't pay attention to the crazy tart behind the microphone! Oh, please do. Please! No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, please do. Anyway, yeah, so she must be a soprano. Some type of soprano. I don't know. But anyway, no. But like I said, I wasn't lying when I said that the bridge was the last part. Or the end of the bridge. No. The whole bridge was the most brilliant part ever. It's where her voice just goes into, like, full belting voice. Full belting force. And she does not even sound one bit straining. She doesn't even sound like she's straining at all. And it's pretty comforting to know, because whenever you try to hear somebody strain to hit those high notes and hear them belt it, you hear them just go like, ah! You know, it's just like, mm-mm, no, mm, nah, mm-mm, uh-uh. Oh, God. he or she needs some lemon honey tea after that. Honey lemon tea after that. And some salt water to gargle. Ooh, that's bad. Because I've heard, to go off topic a little bit, I did hear a version of Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky, where they had a, oh, you know that singer that does that song Stop? Sam Brown? Oh, she's a great vocalist, too. She is a really good vocalist. But after hearing that, she's like, she's just killing it on the vocals. She's slaying it, giving her all. To where she goes like, ah, yeah. Where I'm just like, whoa. Are you sure you're not straining yourself there? Oh. I mean, she did it great. But it's just, hearing her just, like, get at those high notes so hard. She was hitting them so hard. And it was just like, oh, Lord, I hope she had some tea after that. Because holy heck, girl, sing it. But just, don't strain so much, you know? it was a little painful to listen to, even though she was, she was hitting it on the nail of the head. It was, I could link you the video to that one, but that's just my opinion. Even though she killed it, she really did kill her part, and it was amazing. It's just that little bit of straining in her voice that I just sort of got uncomfortable with. Anyway, back to How Can I Ease the Pain? All right. Anyways, Lisa Fisher, you don't even hear one bit of strain in her voice at all, I don't think. And then at the last line, give me all or nothing at all, she hits such a really high note. It was like in the studio, in the studio version, she went from a G5 in her belting range into a G6. And that's considered going into, like, a super head voice, I think. I don't know. And, it's where other people consider it calling the whistle register. Which is, of course, yeah, the whistle register that, of course, Minnie Riperton has made more popular before Mariah Carey came along and made it even more popular. It's just, wow. Anyway, but here's the thing about when Lisa Fisher hits up to that whistle register. To me, it doesn't even sound breathy at all. Whereas you hear Mariah Carey do her whistle notes and all that, all I hear is just, yeah, there's notes. But it's just some breathiness in there. And it's just like, yeah. But when I hear Lisa Fisher go into the whistle range, she's just like, oh, that is like full. Her whistle registers are full. No breath in it at all. No breathiness in there. It's just like, she glid so gracefully from that belted G5 into like a perfect G6 in that whistle register. It's like, it was seamlessly gliding into that note from one octave to another. And I just found that, oh, my ears came. My ears really did come. And because of how graceful she went from one note to another, or one octave to another, actually. It was just amazing. And she just slid all the way down, just zigzagged all the way down to that falsetto where she slid up from. Oh, it was beautiful. And then at the moment where they stop the music, where it just stops that, I need to know how. I can't do it. But it's just like that, how can I? She sings that word ease with that E, that high, really high E. It's an E6 where she hits it. And she sings it, oh, with that most beautiful vibrato. And it's just, it's like, there's not one bit of strain when she hits that note at all. I don't even hear any straining in this at all. And see, this is, and see, now, the concert, well, the live performance that I have on YouTube here, that one I consider is her best performance yet of the song. And, that was incredible. It was insane. But she doesn't hit that high G6 in the live version in this one. No. She instead sticks to the E6. And, yeah, she shows that you don't have to necessarily replicate the studio version into your live performances necessarily. You could change it up to your own comfort. And she did that. And nevertheless, she still killed it. She is amazing. Lisa Fisher, she needs more credit than she deserves, okay? She deserves a lot more credit than what's been given to her, you know? Not many people have been talking about her. I think she was in a documentary along with Mary Clayton. I think it was 20 Feet from Stardom, I think she was in. Yeah, that was a documentary. And it had Lisa Fisher and Mary Clayton, who was the original backup singer for the Rolling Stones on the Gimme Shelter. Let's see, there was a lot of the Darlene Love, Judith Hill, who was the backup singer for Michael Jackson. See, she was going to tour with Michael Jackson and do this live show before Michael passed away. Judith Hill, and she was on The Voice too, I think, and she did awesome, but I'm getting off topic. Yeah, so 20 Feet from Stardom, it had Darlene Love, Judith Hill, Mary Clayton, yeah, Lisa Fisher, Tata Vega, and Joe Laurie. And I've not even seen that documentary yet, but I want to so badly. I might can watch it tonight and see, I don't know. Many people have said that was such a good documentary, a good movie. And I'm just like, oh, I want to see that. I really do want to see that. And I think I've rambled on for almost 40 minutes. Oh, I think this is a first in Song Rant history to have a song rant to go over 30 minutes. Wow. That's a first. So yeah. I think I should stop it here before I run the risk of repeating myself, which I do on a regular basis. So yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this song rant, and I hope to record another one this week with a very special guest. And, I will talk to you all soon. All right, Tarkus Trooper, signing out.